listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. Bosky also provides plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. For service, call 444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. I have the pleasure of being joined by two gentlemen that are great baseball fans. Both of these gentlemen are teachers. The reason that I have them on the show today is Daryl Strawberry recently wrote a book. Daryl Strawberry, well-known baseball player, he recently wrote a book called Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. When I heard about this book, I automatically remembered some stories about the old days when Daryl Strawberry was an Albuquerque Duke. He was doing a rehab assignment from the Dodgers, and he was in Albuquerque as an Albuquerque Duke. I believe he played six games. Four of those, I believe, were in Albuquerque. And Steve and Rich were both clubbies. They were actually taking care of the players in the clubhouse. Steve and Rich, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Rich, tell us about a professional baseball AAA clubhouse and what you had to do.
You know, our job was to basically cater to the players, the training staff, and the coaches. And that meant we would, you know, get the place cleaned up every day, and after every game, we'd get all the uniforms washed and all the garments back into their locker room, back into their individual lockers. We also provide meals, lunches, lots of food was always available in the clubhouse for the players. So it was just to do everything for the players so that their whole role would be to just concentrate on playing baseball. And the same thing with the coaching or managerial staff. They would be, you know, focused on managing the team and everything that goes with that. We were those guys that made everything run well and smoothly.
Daryl Strawberry, of course, one of the most well-known Hall of Fame baseball players in Major League Baseball history. He was here back in June of 1993, again for a six-game rehab. He had some, according to the New York Times, some chronic back problems. The whole reason I wanted to ask you guys to come on the show is because I remember Daryl Strawberry doing some extraordinarily kind things that I personally witnessed. And Steve, I want to start with you to tell us about your interaction with Daryl Strawberry and how you saw him. What did you didn't either one of you, in preparation for this interview, express to me that you knew that he was struggling with drugs and alcohol. So how did he treat you, Steve?
Well, he was fabulous. My first interaction with him was when he pulled up to the stadium in a cab. There was about 50 people waiting outside the clubhouse trying to get his autograph, and he had his equipment bag in one hand and his personal bag in the other, and he got out of the cab and said, I can't sign your autographs right now. I have to go change, and I'll get my uniform on and come back up and sign them. And I thought, yeah, he's not going to go back up and sign them because, you know, players are that way. And he actually got dressed in his uniform, went back up out of the clubhouse and signed everybody's autograph. So, fabulous guy. I mean, Rich and I charged clubhouse dues, and the end of Daryl's stay, we charged $5 a day, and he gave us $100 per day, which was phenomenal. You know, Rich and I couldn't believe it. But that's a lot of Dodgers that were sent down on rehab did the same thing, like Todd Worrell and stuff. So, and then on the last day, it was a Sunday, and I remember it was really hot. It was 100 degrees, and everybody had left except Daryl Strawberry, and he was outside signing autographs in the bleachers, and the line was two or three people thick all the way up the bleachers to home plate and around to home plate. And he stayed and signed all those autographs for about 2 hours, I think, because Rich and I couldn't leave till the last player leaves. So we just stayed there and waited, you know.
Yeah.
And he was a great guy.
Steve,
my son with him.
Go ahead and restate that again. You had a picture of your son with him?
Yeah, in the dugout. My son would come to the stadium with me. And he was about, I guess, 5 years old at the time, 5 or 6. And and Daryl posed for a picture with him. So, and I still have that. So.
Yeah. Rich, what do you remember most about your interaction with Daryl Strawberry?
Very similar to what Steve said. He was very generous and humble. First thing, kind of like what Steve said, he was, you know, instead of coming in and dictating to us what, you know, he needed, you know, we, you know, asked him and he would respond in a real positive way. But the biggest thing was he blended in with the guys really well. He didn't act like what sometimes they were called big leaguers when they would come down on a rehab assignment. He was humble to take a locker that was kind of one of the worst places in the clubhouse. And I offered to get him another player's locker because he was a big leaguer. And he wouldn't have any of that. He offered every night to pay for the meals that we would provide. And I tried to tell him over and over that my wife did the cooking and we had meals set up. And he gave me $100 every night to go and actually more than $100. It was like $400 to go buy a meal for the team. And, you know, it was just, he was so generous and with the players, he interacted with them and how are you doing and how's your season going? And, a lot of times when the guys from the major leagues would come down, they weren't as interactive with the players. But he was very interactive. And as Steve said, each day he made sure that everybody got an autograph. So, he did not go into the clubhouse until everybody got their autograph, which was about an hour and a half to 2 hours of signing autographs in the heat of the day after the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday day games that we had on Labor Day weekend. So he was very easy to work with, very, very kind, and it was really a great experience.
Steve, I want to ask you, without mentioning any names, did you work with Major League Baseball players that were arrogant and unkind?
Well, I started in the Visitors Clubhouse in 1981 for about 6 years. And so I had different teams come in every 4 days. So I had to deal with basically every player in the Pacific Coast League. And sure, there was usually one on every team that was just a jerk. I mean, one guy... We used to supply sanitary socks to all the players, and he just sat there and ripped them in front of me, like four or five pairs. He said they weren't perfect. And, you know, I'd keep getting him another pair, and he'd just sit there and just rip it, you know, all the way down, drop it right in front of me, and I'd go get him another pair. But at the end of the 4 days, I charged him $1 a pair. So, you know, it was There was always usually one guy on every team was a jerk or the trainer. I had one trainer who was, I thought was a jerk, but
yeah. Hey, this is kind of off script. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, and then I stopped the Visitors Clubhouse, and if I remember right, Rich, Pat McKernan called us. He was in a bind because he had just fired the clubby, and you and I went and did the Dukes Clubhouse for 2 years when they had Pedro Martinez and Piazza and Bornegal and Billy Ashley and the Dukes were all great guys. I didn't have any problems with any of them. They were good. You're there all year with them, so they were all great guys.
Yeah, Rich, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, you know, at the 14 years I was down there. You know, you're going to run into, it's just human nature. Some people are not very friendly and maybe in the sport arrogant. But, like Steve said, it was about 95% of all the guys I dealt with over all the years were really good guys. I mean, down to earth and treated you really well. And, you know, I developed some great friendships with a lot of those guys. And, you know, once in a while you come across someone that was really, really difficult to please. Somebody that, and there was a lot of reasons. It might not have necessarily been their nature for some, maybe, but a lot of those guys were under pressure to try to get to the big leagues.
Some of the guys that were the most irritated were guys who had been sent down, who had been playing in the major leagues and, you know, had been sent down, demoted, traded, and then demoted. And so, you know, they were wanting to get back. And a major league clubhouse compared to a AAA clubhouse, you can't compare the two. I mean, it's just night and day. And, of course, you know, that's the show, and that's where everybody wants to be. So sometimes those guys, also the stress of performing to get back to the big leagues or to get to the big leagues if they've never been there before. And I thought sometimes that's who we were dealing with, guys who were stressed out, guys who were disappointed, guys that were at the end of their playing days and they were going to end it at the AAA level. Thankfully, there wasn't a lot of those guys that I dealt with over 14 years.
We are visiting on the phone this afternoon with Steve Harney and Rich Harbin. They were both formerly in the clubhouse for the Albuquerque Dukes and the visiting teams. And the Dukes, of course, now are the Isotopes. They have a beautiful brand new stadium. We're going to talk more with Steve and Rich about their experience, their personal coaching experience in New Mexico. Talk maybe a little bit about how COVID has affected kids and not been able to compete. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
I'm Rob Sneed, general manager at Power Ford. All dealerships have the same incentives. Big rebates, customer cash, we've all got them. The difference is in what the dealership does for you. And at Power Ford, it's all about you. You get a better deal and a better experience. Every vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and roadside assistance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or just come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage. Maybe you're refinancing, looking to purchase a home. Call 836-5700 or reach Indigo Mortgage on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. On the phone this afternoon with Steve Harney and Rich Harbin. These gentlemen both served down in the clubhouse of the Albuquerque Dukes, visiting team, home team a little bit, met some amazing professional athletes, including really the focus of our interview today is Daryl Strawberry. Daryl Strawberry is now a person that goes around and he teaches people about the love of Christ and how God can transform your life. In fact, he's written a new book called Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. I'm talking with Rich and Steve because these two gentlemen got to know him a little bit over a 6-day stint, and both have some amazing things to say about him as just a nice, kind, generous person, even when he was in the middle of dealing with some real low points in his life. Steve, tell us about your work as a high school baseball coach. You're coaching out at Volcano Vista?
Right. Yeah, and I've since the school opened, and we won the state championship in 2018, and I really think we could have repeated last year. We had our best pitcher and many of our best hitters back, but then the COVID came in and wiped out the season. So, and hopefully we have a season this year. The kids are really kind of depressed. I feel really bad that for the seniors last year that their season was wiped out when they really could have, you know, made an impact in the state tournament. So it's affecting them quite a bit. We had a week or two, about a month ago, of practices, and then the governor shut us down again. So it's you know, frustrating, very frustrating.
Steve, you had kids. You already mentioned that you had great pitchers coming back at Volcano Vista. Are those kids, even though they lost their season last year, going to get an opportunity at the next level?
Yeah. Darius Garcia signed with Texas Tech, and he's actually playing for Texas Tech this year. And then the hitters, Isaiah Ural is playing for the Lobos. He signed with the Lobos. They did because they signed when they were juniors. And but the juniors or the sophomores, I don't really think they're getting opportunity because they're not doing the traveling that they used to with the, you know, they used to go to Arizona on the traveling teams, you know, but the high schools, you know, I just don't think so at all. I agree with you, Jim, that this has to be, you know, different. You know, the governor's got to act differently and meet with people and talk about these things, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that you have an amount of expertise on not only how to run practices, but how to work and motivate kids. And what I'm seeing so far is I'm seeing that athletes value their season and value their teammates, which again is, I think, a life lesson. They value them enough not to go out and just mess around and bring COVID back into their teams. I really do think kids have that ability. They have the ability to care about their teammates and others more than themselves. We just got to give them a chance and give them a structure in which that will work. Rich, I want to go back to you now. Rich, you've had an interesting career. I know you've coached a lot more basketball than you have baseball. How much are you missing coaching and working with kids?
I miss it a lot. It's part of who you've been for, gosh, I coached for about 30 years. So, and I taught, well, I actually coached more than 30 years. So, but, and I've taught for 34 years. So it's just a part of who you are. And yeah, so a lot of it I do miss. Some of it, you know, I don't miss. But overall, it's something that I think it's just part of, you know, your blood once you've done something that long.
Rich, I know you and maybe Steve would concur. The best team to coach would be a team of orphans where you don't have any parents to deal with.
Yeah. you know, listen, the parents love their kids, want their kids to have a great experience. And it's sometimes really difficult to let go in the sense that someone else is going to make those decisions. And also possibly discipline their child as it relates to team stuff and getting to the classroom and things like that. You know, that's part of what I did as a head coach is, you know, I, you know, would go and check on kids, make sure that they showed up for their math class or they showed up for their science class. And, but as a parent myself of three daughters that played high school sports, I turned it over to the coach, and that included when my kids were younger and like middle school and being coached by other people and their AAU coaches. I never had a voice to those coaches. It was their job. If I didn't feel like they were capable or qualified, then we looked for another coach. But that really never happened. My job was to be in the stands, to be a great supporter, to be a dad of my daughters, and to support them. And, you know, I had conversations with my kids sometimes about coach not being fair or whatever. And all I knew was, from a player perspective, my playing time was based on me. It was based on my ability to win the starting job, my ability to be a good teammate, my ability to be coachable, my ability to remember the playbook, my ability to play the game hard, and my ability to, when I was on the the playing fields was to be able to execute and to a point where I was successful for myself and for my team. You know, so parents don't always see that. But I, like I would tell you, I think that of all the parents I dealt with in 30 years of coaching, that it was a small percentage that gave me gray hair faster than I should have had. But the majority of parents were supportive, even if their kid wasn't getting the playing time that they wanted the kid to have. They were supportive, and they helped with our program and fundraising and being a part of it and things like that. So I thought I was blessed that for the most part I had really good parents who were invested in the program and invested in cheering on their kids, whether their kid was a star or was a role player coming off the bench.
Steve, does it encourage you to know now that Daryl Strawberry is an open book about his failures and that he is now sharing his faith to help other people?
I'm very excited that he's going out and trying to make a difference in people's lives and with his experiences. And he's, you know, looked upon, you know, by a lot of people as a hero, and you know, he's stepping up and doing what I think is wonderful thing.
Yeah, yeah. Rich, same question for you.
I think it's a great story, and I think it just reiterates to all of us that, you know, no matter how difficult things are, if you have a faith, then that faith can get you through really difficult times. And I've always had my mentality about things that people go through, in his case, Daryl Strawberry, is that, you know, in the good times, in the bad times, and in between those times, you're going to always need, you know, to have God in your life. And he will get you through those things. And in Daryl's case, it's a great story to be able to say, hey, you know, I hit rock bottom. It cost me my, you know, the rest of my playing days as a baseball player. I think his career ended earlier than it should have. And maybe the substance abuse along with the injuries, you know, had a big part of it. But to be able to say, look, you know, I hit rock bottom, and yet now I'm having a good life. I have given myself to Jesus and to God, and I am I'm doing really well. So it's a great story. I mean, there's a lot of people who hit rock bottom and never have faith, and they stay at rock bottom, you know?
Yes. Amen. Well, Steve Harney, we're going to be looking for Volcano Vista on their baseball program. I thank you for working with our kids. So thank you for joining us today. And Rich Harbin, I know you want to get back to coaching. So our listeners out there that might be administrators in various schools, Rich Harbin, he is available, experienced basketball coach. Rich, is it only basketball you're looking for, or will you take some other sports?
I would first start with basketball, but, you know, you're open to other things as well.
Well, thank you both for joining us today on ABQ Connect. I'm really blessed to talk with you, and it's been really encouraging. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Jim. Thank you.
God bless you.
Presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.